You have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1. Well, in Romans chapter 1, let me read Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42 real quick. As I let you guys know a little bit of the Cambodian culture, it's a very melancholy culture. People really don't like to smile or laugh. Joke a lot. So I have learned over the years to learn to laugh at myself. It helped me in Cambodia. The young people in Cambodia love me because I laugh at myself and I laugh at them. And I tell them about it, man. So a lot of time I just, working with teenagers and here in America, it just opened my personality up. So it helped me tremendously, knowing how to laugh at yourself. And you men in ministry, you know how to go. But Acts chapter 5, verse 41 says, "And they departed," meaning the apostle, "and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Okay, they rejoiced, they were happy, they were full of joy, that they suffer shame for the name of Jesus. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus." Okay, or you can say the gospel. Okay, they did not stop. Even though they were persecuted, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Okay, why did they not stop? Even though under heavy persecution. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, 16, and 17. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Okay, they ceased not to preach Jesus because they were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were not ashamed to give up our tract. They were not ashamed to share the power of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Apostle Paul speaking, of course, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first." Just doesn't mean they're more important, doesn't mean that God loved them more. They had the first opportunity to hear the gospel. That's all it means, okay? "And also to the Greek," everybody else. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Usually I talk about the power of the gospel, and that's what the verse talk about. And I just want to encourage you, don't stop being a witness for God. Okay, cease not to preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ or the gospel. Don't be ashamed to bow your head and pray if you young people that are in public school. I went to public school all my life. Elementary, high school, did not know anything about Christian school. I had to learn to pray in the cafeteria of a student body, over 1,300 students. And all my friends were not Christian at all, were not saved at all. Okay, did not know God. But I had to learn to live for God and stand up for God. But let me pray and we'll continue. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for your people that are faithful and committed to you, Lord. I pray your will be done. Thank you so much for opportunity to share my testimony and the video. And for your love and your guidance, Lord, you are everything to us. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. So, So Paul here is talking about he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to preach the gospel. And I think in Acts chapter 5, I remember it says Peter and John, I think, they ceased not. They were whipped, beaten. But after they left the council, they continue to preach Jesus Christ wherever they go. Wherever they go. You think about the apostle, 12 apostles, and a few, some other disciples, 120 disciples all together in the upper room. After they saw the, after Christ arose and he ascended up to heaven, after they saw the ascension of Jesus Christ, after that, they turned the world upside down. Before that, while Jesus was doing ministry, the apostle, disciple, were selfish, were self-centered. They argue about who's going to be first. Okay, they want to be first. Some want to be first. Peter rebuked Jesus. He liked to put his foot in his mouth, amen. I'm not better than Peter, I guess. No, but the apostle was no different from you and I. We're a sinner, selfish. But after the resurrection, they saw the ascension of Christ, that they just have a different mentality, mindset. And God can, God humbled them. And after they were humble, they saw the ascension of Jesus Christ, they were not no longer the same. It was no longer about them. It was all about Christ. And I challenge you, I encourage you to be the same as Christian. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he ascended back up to heaven and he commanded the apostles to do the great commission. They remember him being ascended up to heaven. And they God only had to command them the great commission in Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, Mark 16. Preach the gospel to all creatures. They saw that. He spent many days with them after he rose again, and they turned the world upside down. You think about that. Amazing power, amazing testimony. Nothing will stop them from preaching the gospel. They were not ashamed to talk about Jesus. Not ashamed to sing about Jesus. Not ashamed to carry a Bible. I guess they don't have the whole New Testament yet. But they had the power of God. They had the Holy Spirit. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And they turned the world upside down, the known world at that time. Amazing, unbelievable. And I think about us Christians of today. So many Christians, so many so-called Christians here in America. Even just a small percentage give their heart to God. Totally, wholly. God can... We can see God do amazing things also. One of my prayers is that the gospel will go to every people groups in this world. I am not just loving on my people, Cambodian. I think about all the Americans here in America. I think about the young people in America. And oftentimes, I be honest with you, it breaks my heart. When I see young people in America are not being reached with the gospel, my heart is broken. Totally broken. Because I love young people in third world country, but I love young people in America just as much. Honestly, just as much. I know young people in America have the material, a lot of things here in America, but they don't have God. Don't have God. Got to be adults that would love on the young people in America, the children in America, the African-American kids that grow up without a father. When I think about that, it breaks my heart. Like I told you, I grew up in Atlanta. Had a bus ride in Long Beach. See a lot of devastating things in homes. No one that loved them. No one will be. And I often wonder, where are the men in America? I thank God for the ladies. Like in our team in Cambodia, we have several young single adults that came to help us out. Only one was a guy. The rest were young ladies. A lot of times young ladies have more courage, or they love God more. I don't know. But that's what I see. And I often wonder, where are the men? Where are the men? But let me go back. The power of the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. Okay, why was Paul not ashamed? Just like you and I, we don't have to be ashamed. I'll just mention three things. The gospel is the power of God that saves sinner. That's why he's not ashamed. It saved wicked sinner. I know how wicked I was. I told you guys this morning, I cursed God two different times. I cursed God. I didn't curse God in my heart. I look up in the sky, curse God. That's one of the ways I acknowledged God before I got saved. But I cursed him over a trivial thing. And there were times I guess used God's name in vain. Wicked, evil. I was a thief at one time. I had evil desire. I was disobedient, dishonoring my mom. But God still saved me as a sinner. As a sinner. Not only that, the gospel is the power of God that saves sinner fairly. Or you can say, the gospel does not discriminate. Remember, friends, God saved African American, Caucasian, Asian the same way. By grace through faith. That's it. God saved a rich person, a poor person, a homeless, same way, by grace, through faith, by his grace. That's it. You think about religion, religions are so prejudiced. You know, the Hindu religion, they have the caste system, different seven classes of people. And if you're at the bottom, I don't know, they go from number one to number seven. I forgot how they go. If you know, let me know. I think the top one is like, or they did a lot of good deeds, so they are the rich one, the powerful one. And down to number seven, seven are people who sweep street, who are dark color, who are the poor of society, and not many people want anything to do with them. That's in the Hindu culture. I watched a video one time where the best job they can get is to sweep street. And one gentleman even hunt rats to make a living to support his family. That's religion for you, friends. In the Buddhist religion, same way. If somebody's poor, that person not going to be, a monk not going to want to visit their family, their house, to get blessing. They'd rather go to a rich person. But you think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was called a friend of sinner. Now, he didn't commit sin with them. He just wanted to show love and compassion toward them. And he told like the Samaritan woman, sin no more. Okay? He was just all love, 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 love. No, he told them what they did wrong. He told them, you are a tax collector. You cheated people. You repent of that and believe the gospel. Yes. You see, he didn't, you know, people like accuse Jesus of being a friend of sinner. But of course he hang out with them. They invited him. But he was there to be a light to them. To show us, even the rich people, Nicodemus, a rich man, he welcomed him into his place. At nighttime, he welcomed Nicodemus just like he welcomed the Samaritan woman, just like he welcomed the leprosy, the lepers, the blind, the maimed. He loved all. He loved all. So God, why you and I should never be ashamed of the gospel, because it saves sinner fairly, equally. You come to God the same way. The gospel does not discriminate. Does not discriminate. For God is the creator of all, and he loves all. Doesn't matter you're short, tall, fat, skinny. Okay, you're going bald like me, amen? I'm going to wear a toupee pretty soon, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But God loves us all. Love us all. None of that. The other thing I want to say, the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. It shows us that God is righteous. It reveals his righteousness. Not only that, the gospel is the power of God that changed lives. It changed lives. Think about yourself. You have a testimony. We all have a testimony. Think about what God saved you from. God saved me from bitterness, angry. I have some friends. I get along pretty good in elementary school, but when it came to high school, I was very bitter, even worse. So I didn't have as many friends as I was in 5th, 6th, 7th grade. But God saved me from that. So I thank God for the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God that saves sinner. I have some name written down here. But sir, can I push picture? I'll just share with you. Usually I don't do this. Let's go back to 40 years ago where missionaries used to show slide. I kind of missed that, to be honest with you. Same here? Okay. So let's share with you some the people, the power of the gospel, how God saved and changed lives. The lady I told you that her husband divorced her, that's Ja on our left. She's probably in her mid-50 now, 55, 56, but she has a daughter, Sam. She's almost 40. She got married like 15, 16. Her husband was a village chief, and because of her faith in Jesus Christ, and she would not go back to Islam, her husband divorced her. She lost everything, all the inheritance. She lost everything, her husband, everything. But because her faith in God is strong, she's not a fake, a phony, even though she got persecuted. I remember she told her one time, she was so heartbroken because her husband threatened to divorce her, and he eventually did. And her relative, her friends, the people in her village disowned her. She was heartbroken, and she couldn't sleep. She was crying through the night. And in the middle of the night, she shared it with us. The Holy Spirit told her to turn to, I think, John chapter 14 or something, where it talk about, I don't remember the verse clearly, it talk about God would not leave you something alone or something. He will be a father to us. She read that. The Holy Spirit pointed that out to her. And after she read that verse in John chapter 14, she was able to go to sleep. Like I told you, her four sons that are saved, two of them are pastoring a church. Son pastoring a church in the Muslim village. Man is pastoring a church in a poor city, in the capital city. Kasal is on staff with the church. And Vanat, he's here in America. He's leaving today to go back to Cambodia. He married one of our singers. That's Samantha. Samantha, she's a Cambodian-American. My wife and I helped her teen years. And we helped her. She went to Cambodia to help our team as single, and she married one of our national pastor. And they've been in America for a couple months. They have four kids, and that's a man and her mother-in-law. And God bless her tremendously. You see her smile? You would never guess, you would never tell that her husband abandoned her, divorced her, and he married a younger woman, and she lost everything. But she did not lose God. God bless her. Okay, that Ja, this is all her sister. This Bay, Seed, and I forgot the other young lady. My sobering part of not the nephew and I, we led them all to Christ. They all saved from Islam. See the lady in the middle. She's a breadwinner of her family. Her husband, he, but now they work together. But she was threatened. Her husband threatened her. He even trying to fight me one time for witnessing to her. But she said, "Don't worry, Pastor. I want to get saved." And she's still faithful. But them three and Jah, they're all sisters. They're all sisters. And they are still faithful going to our church, all saved from Islam. This is our children ministry. I won't say much. Let me go on. This is our new church building, if you guys want to see it. And your support helped go to that. And this is just our church people in Phnom Penh, in the capital city. We can fit like close to, I think, 500 people, if we have 500 people. But we're able to meet together. This is back in December. And this man is leading song. He's one of our national pastors. Their son, they're all brothers. They all were saved out of Islam. And we have the balcony. It's nothing too fancy. It's just a building, just the other side of the balcony. And that's where your support going to. Okay, this is the gentleman is him, H-E-M. His wife is on the far left. And that's Sam. And there's some poor in the middle. Poor just got saved a couple years ago. Her first year being saved, she was not committed to God. A lot of times she missed church. She was scared of her husband. But a year ago, I think over a year now, she got convicted. She said, "You know what? I'm no longer, I'm going to stop being afraid of man, of my husband." And because she stood for God and she decided to be committed, start going to church faithfully, her husband divorced her also, the lady in the middle, poor. And she lost her land. Her husband took one side of the land and she lived in a house on the other side. And the husband, her kids, would not let her grandkids see her. I went to visit her in her village. And they all three saved out of Islam. All out of Islam. But him and some, husband and wife, him is very well known in the Muslim community. Before he got saved, he was demon possessed off and on for over 10 years. Some, the wife, spent all her saving, all her money, sold her land to get her husband help. But in 2012, I think it started 2011, but she got saved in 2012, she realized that only the true God can help her husband. She got saved first, and to make long story short, when she the first 2 years she got saved, her husband, the gentleman in the glass, he persecuted her, threw her Bible away, threatened to beat her. She had to go live at our church for 2 weeks in the capital city. But he got convicted one day because even though she was threatened, her husband abused her verbally, she continued to pray with her husband and love her husband. I don't remember one time she badmouthed her husband. Not one time. Even though her husband gave her a hard time every day. And because of good testimony, he got saved also. And this guy, you cannot beat this guy when it comes to passing out track. He'll pass out track to any Muslim, even to the imam. Imam is the Muslim leader. Because they know his testimony. And a lot more Muslim, most of them have not gotten saved yet, but they're willing to listen to the gospel because of his testimony. They know that he was demon-possessed for a long time. Okay. I used to disciple them for a couple of years. The lady in the middle, the two standing up, help invest in her. They all live in the same village. But the lady in the middle, she just passed away in January. Her name is Jamran. And she's only in her late 30s. She left behind a daughter But she has some, she's handicapped. And when she had illness, I forget some, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what, some disease in her intestine that keeps swelling up. And our missionary, our team, our church there in Satrai took her to a different hospital and nothing could help her. But before she passed away, her unsaved family refused to feed her. It was only our church. And because she did not eat and her illness got worse, she just passed away in January. But she got saved handicapped. Handicapped people in third world country, they are despised and ridiculed. Okay? Tom is a hymn son. He's leading the ministry that's 5.5 hours away. He's one of our Bible college students. I know he got a mask on. The guy looked like 20, but he's 31 or 30 years old. While I'm here in the state, he's doing the ministry that's 5.5 hours away. He was saved out of Islam also. Faithful young man. Okay. He needs a wife. Amen. So we get married. We let him pastor the church that's 5.5 hours away. Okay. Jim Brown is the one sitting that passed away, but the three young ladies, Janun, Mom, Sinead, these young ladies, Janun, I know they look like teenagers. She's like 26, 27. Mom about 24. Sinead, she's about 20 or 21. They're all factory workers, working Monday through Saturday, 10, 12 hours a day. The only day they have off is Sunday, and they go soul winning on Sunday, and they attend both services on Sunday. And they are the breadwinners in the family. Janun, girls on the left, young lady, 27 years old now. But she had brothers, older brother, mom. The money she made, she had to give them most of it. They eat good, but a lot of times she'll eat dry fish, fermented fish, some are cheap because most of the money she had to give to her unsaved family, because if she don't do that, they would not accept her in the family. And she's a young lady. Take care of the brothers, the mom, the sibling that's older than her even. To let you guys know, in the Cambodian culture, the men are very lazy. A lot of times it's a woman that's the breadwinners. And all three young ladies are the breadwinner in the family, working in the factories. Factory workers, when we first got there, they used to get paid $65 a month. Not a week, a month. Now some of them, they got up to $200 a month. A different organization trying to fight for the rights of the factory workers. So now you have some people make about $150 to $200 a month. Okay, not a week, a month. Okay? So they're faithful young lady in our church. Godly young lady, genuine, like I told you guys. She's providing for 5-6 people in her family. It's very common in Cambodia. I did not take picture of the truck where they transport workers to different factories. Thousand upon thousand upon thousand of trucks, thousand upon thousand of workers. Mostly young ladies. Mostly young ladies. Okay. San is Vanat Yah's son. He's one of our national pastors, 3 kids, and they all have good old American name, amen. And that's his wife, Yom, and they pastoring a church, a village church in a Muslim village. This is Yim. She's born 1933, she should turn 89 this year. That's her little shack. I did not have a picture with to show you the whole shack. That's all she had, the one little shack she lived in. And the land she gave to her kids and grandkids. And a lot of times when I visit her, she's there by herself. And with her food. I have another picture where she put the dry fish on, she dried out in the sun on the roof or in the ceiling. And one time I was shocked. I said, "Grandma, what's up there?" She says, "That's my food." She keep it up there. There's no refrigerator. But she's 89 years old. And she loved to ride my car when I pick her up to go to church. And she loved to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. She actually is not Cambodian. She's a people group called Kui, K-U-Y. They are a people group in Cambodia. There's about 30,000 of them. And one of our church is 5.5 hours away. We reach out to the Kui people. A different people group. They look like Cambodian, but they have their own culture and their own language. But they can speak Cambodian also. But 89 years old, the power of the gospel. She just got saved a few years ago. This one, the village where they get discipled all together. This is how we do it. Sometimes we have a big group. They show up one time. Son will teach the Bible to all of them. And the gentleman in the blue shirt right there, his name is Pan. He is blind. And because of him, all the people in his village heard the gospel. He got saved first in his village, and he influenced his kids to get saved, his grandkids to get saved, because of his powerful testimony. But not only that, his neighbors, they all heard the gospel because of him, a blind gentleman. He's the one in the video where he's sitting down and everybody's standing singing. That's him. He's blind. And he's in church every week. And that's I already told you about Yim. This is the front picture. She's in the middle. And Song, the gentleman in that picture there, he just passed away in October. He was, his daughter in her 60s was taking care of him. She went to buy food for him. When she came back, he fell face first. We don't know I don't exactly remember what happened. He had a stroke or something. He had nobody there to help him. So he died right there, falling. He fell down and nobody to help him up. So he just passed away at either 87 or 88 years old. They about the same age, him and Jim. And they actually like boyfriend and girlfriend. They love each other. When one go to church, other one missing, they always ask about one another. And I would pick them up both in the car, take them to church. But he passed away, but she's still living. She's 89. He's the same age, actually. If he's living this year, he'd be 89. And Nim, she's younger. She's in her late 60s. And she's saved, but her kids, grandkids, they mock her, ridicule her just about every week. Even though she takes care of them, when she gets sick, none of her kids help her. That's what people in third world countries face a lot of time. About the same picture, Song and Jim. Is that it? Oh, I think that last picture. So Kay is a young, faithful young lady, godly young lady in our church. She in her 30s. Her dad, I just found out, he made a profession of faith 2 days ago. He had, the reason he had that thing on his forehead, he had cancer in the throat. I witnessed him several times. We've been working with him the last couple of years. And she just sent me a message. And she's a godly young lady. Every time she witnessed to her mom and dad, she would always have tears in her eyes, pleading with them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so happy because we don't know how much longer he got to live because the cancer spread all through his body, throat, and he could not eat much. Last week, he went without drinking water for 5 days. And this is just an older picture, but she sent me a picture where his throat, the cancer, eat up. It's like there's a big, the flesh grow out of his neck, and it's affected his eating and his drinking. But I am thankful for the power of the gospel. For 2-3 years, he would not make a profession of faith. But recently, he'd been listening to preaching, and several people have witnessed her, especially his daughter, and I witnessed him several times. But I thank God, just a few days ago, he made a profession of faith. Thank God for the power of the gospel. Amen? I think that is the same picture I told you about already. Tom, his mom and dad, Tom is a young man right there without the mask in the blue. His dad was a demon possessed. His mom, some, they say Lett in the red. She's a single mom, a divorced mom, I'm sorry. She got saved. She's been serving God for several years now. Poison on the far left. And the lady between the red, I forgot her name. But she's one about lady got saved, faithful in ministry also. But all of them were saved out of Islam. All saved out of Islam. Tom is one of our Bible college student. And like I said, he need a wife. Amen? Okay, I think is that it? Yes, that's it. I'm finished on time. Amen? I told you, brother. Keep going. No, I do respect your time. I just show you all that testimony. I have hundreds of pictures, to be honest with you. Cease not to preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't stop living for God. Don't be ashamed of the power of the gospel. God can save anybody. You just have to give people a chance. I know some people take 3 years, like P, Sakay's father, took it 3 years. But Sakay been saved almost 20 years, a young lady. Been saved like 14, 15 years. She went to work in Japan for several years. But it took her several years, over 10 years, to get her father saved. Yeah, so she lost everything in this world. But she is so blessed. She have 13, 14 grandkids now. And all four of her sons are in ministry. I want to challenge you, encourage you. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.